Are you ready for state testing? Because I'm not. But whether we're ready or not, with state testing coming up, we're all looking for creative ways to review everything we've learned this year. So today, I'm going to share a game that is going to have your students up and moving and solving math problems, and it's called the Paper Bag Review. Let's get started. Welcome to Solving for the Undefined podcast. I'm your host, Johanna, founder of Ms. Kuiper's Classroom, the place that equips teachers in creating a healthy math classroom where students can thrive, no matter their academic abilities. But it's not always about the numbers, and that's why I'm here, bringing you the formulas to solve your problems, math and otherwise, plus strategies on cultivating that necessary math mindset. And that's what you can count on. Hello, hello, welcome to a brand new episode. I am pumped about today's episode because so many of you responded so well to the unfair game back in episode 47 that I knew I had to do another game breakdown for you. So today we're going to be talking about the paper bag review game. When I first learned about the paper bag review game a couple years ago, it blew my mind because paper bags are one of those items that can be used in so many different ways. Lunch bags, hand puppets, other crafts, and now we can use them for review games. So let's break it down. What is the paper bag review? So the TLDR, too long, didn't read, is your students are going to roam around the room answering questions that are taped to paper bags, and they're going to put in their corresponding answer. So the materials that you're going to need to successfully complete this activity are paper bags equal to the number of problems you want to use, the problems, and usually what I just do is I will print out all of the questions on paper and cut them up and tape each problem to a separate bag. You could also, if you have task card decks, you could put task cards on each individual bag. That also works. Additionally, you want to make sure you have answer cards for each student. So however many questions you want them to answer, you need to have those answers on separate cards so that they can put their initial on them and put them in the bag that corresponds to the problem that they're answering. And then you want to have some small prizes. And I say small because you're going to want to have a prize for each of the problems you have within the activity. Now later in the episode, I'm going to share some variations on how you can change this game to kind of minimize the amount of prizes if you're on a budget or you just don't want to have as many prizes available. Now let's get into how to play this game. I like to think about it as a scavenger hunt in reverse, meaning that there are questions around the room, but the students have all of the answers with them. So I take all of the paper bags and I tape them around the room with the questions hanging on them. Once you have all the bags with the questions around the room, you're going to hand each student a set of answer cards. And then you want to have students either put their initials, their student ID number, or their name on the back of each of these cards. That way, when you get to the raffle portion of the game, you can figure out whose card belongs to whom. Now that you have the setup complete, you can now begin. Students are going to solve the problems and drop their answer card into the corresponding bag. And I mentioned before, it's a lot like a scavenger hunt, because another reason is students can start at any problem. You can split students up, making sure that they are all around the room rather than all clumped at one problem. And one thing here too is you could give students the same number of problems as there are bags for some process of elimination. Or, to make it a little bit more challenging, give them less cards than there are problems. And with that last piece too, you could split up the problems in such a way that students are getting a different section of the answer cards for the problems around the room. There are two different ways where you can structure the length of time for this activity. One, you can set a timer and say, we will stop at this amount of time, or at this particular time, or you can just do it until the majority of your students are done. I prefer to have a timer on the screen and kind of conclude the game when the timer is up and adjust as needed. So if, say, I set a 20-minute timer, if the majority of students are done within 15 minutes, I will probably stop the game a little bit sooner. But if at those 20 minutes mark, most students are still working, I might still stop it there because that's the max amount of time that we have before we need to move on in the class period. Plus, having a timer helps keep students engaged and accountable to doing the problems, whereas saying, oh, we'll kind of stop when the majority of the students are done, is a little bit more wishy-washy and less concrete and can lead to student apathy rather than better student engagement. Now that the game has concluded, you're going to go around and pull one card from each bag. If that student has the correct answer in the bag, they get a prize. So this is why, again, we want to have small prizes, because if you have 20 problems you want students to work on, 20 problems times however many classes you have, that's a lot of prizes, which is why candy or some other small prize is probably best. If the student is incorrect, I usually just put it back and draw a new card. So kind of some quick tips when you're playing the bag review game this way is, if a student, while they're walking around, puts the wrong answer in a bag, I have them call me over to retrieve it for them. That way they're not digging through trying to find theirs and inadvertently seeing other people's answers. I tell them that's what it means to have integrity, because putting a word to it that has meaning to them is going to help them really truly call me over rather than try to retrieve it themselves. And another thing to kind of help mitigate these students looking in the bags is, I put the bags just above eye level for the majority of my students so they can reach in and put an answer card but not see other people's answers inside the bag. That also allows the problem to be more at eye level rather than students stooping down to look at what the problem is. So those are kind of some quick tips on playing the game well. Now let's move into talking about the pros of doing the paper bag review game this way. One, it's an engaging way to get students to participate in math review. It's likely something that they haven't done before, and it's going to be exciting because it's new. Two, students are up and moving. I've said it before, but movement is one of the best ways to get students to engage without them feeling like they're engaging. They're going to have better brain power because they're up and moving, blood flow, oxygen to the brain, all of those amazing things. Another pro of this game is, it feels like less problems because it's one problem at a time. Yes, they're going to be doing 10 to 20 problems throughout this time, but because they're focusing on one problem at a time, it's going to feel less big or anxiety-inducing for some students than if they got 20 problems on a review sheet. Next, having the raffle at the end increases the risk, meaning that there's the potential that they might win. That excitement is going to help bring better attention retention. And then lastly, because this game is all around your classroom, you can cover a variety of concepts within this game. So you can truly make it a review for everything you've learned. So you can do Pythagorean theorem, decimals, geometry, algebra, whatever concept you need to review, you can put it within this game. Now let's talk about the cons. So as is, if we change nothing about this game, there is no way to check student work. It's mostly focused on students getting the correct answer, not on the problem-solving piece. There's no way to tell if a student guessed rather than solving the problem. Maybe their friend put in that answer, so they put that answer in too. There's no way to truly check if they're just putting their answer cards in the bags. Additionally, this doesn't allow for a lot of differentiation. Yes, you can give students a different set of answer cards or a different section within the set of cards, like reducing the amount of problems, but that's really the only differentiation you can apply if you do not change anything about the game. And for me, I need that differentiation because one of my classes this year has 60% of my students on IEPs. That's a lot of differentiation that I need to weave in into this game. With that in mind, I've come up with three variations of this game depending on your needs in your classroom. So variation number one is putting the answers on the bag rather than the questions. This solves the problem of not having a way to check student work, especially when you're going to make the cards big enough for students to show their answers. Just like in the unfair game, students had to show their work in order to get credit for that problem. Same thing here. When you do the raffle at the end, students have to have the correct work shown. Or what I mean is you need students to have work shown towards the correct answer. This is going to allow for differentiation also because students who need it could be given different questions that still have the same answers around the room. So maybe I have a student who needs third grade level math questions in my eighth grade level classroom. I can gear those questions to whatever their IEP math goal is, and it can still have the answers around the room. For example, maybe the problem is a Pythagorean theorem problem where the student is trying to find the missing leg. And the hypotenuse is 5 and the leg is 3. They're trying to figure out what that missing one is going to be. And the answer would be 4. So maybe I'm trying to figure out a way, maybe 24 divided by 6 is the problem for my differentiation needs. And then that card would also go in the same bag. Yes, it's a little bit more work, but we're required to accommodate and differentiate for our students with IEPs. This is one of the ways that we can do that. On the flip side, you can also give challenge problems to students who need that extra boost. Maybe there are gifted and talented students. You can give them challenge problems that are still going to lead to the same answers. It works both directions. So that is variation number one, putting the answers on the bag rather than the questions. I'm interrupting today's episode to ask you a vital question. Do you have the tools in your classroom for student success? Well, wonder no more because I have a way for you to check your work. My new guide, 7 Math Teacher Must-Haves for Student Success, has the top 7 items you need in your classroom. From classroom staples to manipulatives that are often missed, this checklist will ensure that your students have a successful school year. Additionally, each item shows the best budget and splurge options. Download the 7 Math Teacher Must-Haves for Student Success after listening to today's episode by going to misskuiper.com/guide. Variation number 2 is having students create the problems for the answers on the bag. This is definitely a higher order thinking game, but for students who need that extra challenge, this is going to be fantastic. So the way this would work is students are going to create problems based on the answers around the room. For this variation, I tend to be more topic specific, either in the whole game being one topic, like just Pythagorean theorem, or I specify on the card, make a Pythagorean theorem problem where the answer is 4. And you can mix and match that with the previous variation. So I could have one where it says, make a Pythagorean theorem problem where the answer is 4, and students have a blank card for that specific problem. That way they're going to create the problem on the little paper you give them. It has their name on it. Then it goes in the bag. The reason I like this variation or adding this variation with the first one we talked about is open problems are a true gauge of student understanding because it puts them in creation mode. If you are part of Molding Mathematicians, this is something we talk about in Module 3, the amazingness of open problems, because it really gives students that flexibility of thinking because no longer are they trying to find the answer to a problem. They're creating the problem that leads to that answer. Something about that just puts your brain into a different mode where you have to think deeper about the topic. So that is variation number 2, having students create the problems for the answers that are on the paper bags around the room. Now, variation number 3 is kind of very different, but it still involves the paper bag, which is why I included it in this episode. So instead of having problems or answers on the bag, you have the prizes on the bag. For this variation, you would still give students cards that have problems on there. And then once they complete it, they're going to put it in the bag they want the prize for. And this is fantastic for so many reasons, but one, it allows for student choice, meaning that they get to choose whichever prize that they want to work for. So say you give each student 10 problems, and maybe one of the prizes is a bag of Takis. Now, as a student, maybe I would really, really, really want to work towards this prize. So I'm going to put all 10 of my problems in that bag to kind of stack the deck in my favor. But I could also spread it out between all of the bags and kind of diversify the potential outcome for me, and maybe even earn multiple prizes if that's okay with you. With this variation, students still have to show the work on their card in order to receive the prize. But with this variation, one benefit is you need less prizes because you're going to have way fewer bags, maybe like 4 or 5. You can have more if you want. I usually use this variation when I'm low on prize options. And that's variation number 3, having prizes on the bags rather than questions or answers. In summary, we have talked about how to play the bag game. You have paper bags around the room, and students are putting cards within them, whether they have the question, answer, or prizes written on the bag. This is a fantastic game because you can do so much with it. It's easy to differentiate if you put a little bit of a spin on it. And because students are up and moving, they're going to be more engaged than if they were just doing a review packet on their desk. If you haven't listened to episode 47 on the unfair game, definitely go back and listen to it because that is another great engaging game for students to do when you're reviewing for state testing or just reviewing any concept. And stay tuned because I'm going to be breaking down more games and how you can use them in your classroom, because games are a great way to build classroom community. If you want to learn more about how to build math community within your classroom and how it can transform student success, definitely check out my mini course, Chaos to Community. I will link it down in the description so you can start transforming your classroom for student success. And with that, I'll calculator. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. To find all the links and resources to things talked about in this episode, head on over to misskypersclassroom.com and click on podcast.